Gemara Daf Chaf Amud Aleph.
The Mishnah, right?
And we're up to the Mishnah, right? So this Mishnah is going to talk about the difference between Hanetzach Chama, which is definitely Yom, that's for sure the emergence of day, as opposed to an earlier period of time, which is called Ola Amud HaShachar. And the question is, when does day emerge, as far as the Halacha is concerned? And therefore, any mitzvah that depends upon day could be fulfilled. Can that be fulfilled with Hanetzach? Well, for sure, with Hanetzach Chama. That's undeniable. That's unquestionable. But as far as Amud HaShachar is concerned, is that already sufficient? Is that already considered Yom? So the first issue is Megillah reading. Ein Korin Es HaMegillah. And the end of this mission is going to be Ad HaNetzach Chama, Ad Sheton Netzach Chama. Now, it's interesting because we have a Megillah reading at night, but the Mishnah seems to be totally oblivious to the mitzvah of reading the Megillah at night. Alternatively, you could say the Mishnah is just covering, you know, the Mishnah is addressing the case of Megillah during the day. But Ein Chinami, there'd be an additional, even the Mishnah would recognize an additional reading at night, but that reading at night would not fulfill your obligation of reading during the day. And the Mishnah establishes that for the mitzvah of reading by day, you need to wait till after Hanetzach Chama.
Otherwise, the next part, the Molin, the Tovlin, the Mazin, those are all during the day, right?
Right, this is an entire list. The Mishnah is enumerating those mitzvahs that require day. If you fast forward to the next Mishnah for a second, the Mishnah is going to tell you until what time at night can you fulfill these mitzvahs. In other words, when does the morning or the day terminate? And that's going to differentiate between mitzvahs halayla and mitzvahs hayom. So that's going to be on Chaf Amud Beis. But this Mishnah on Chaf Amud Aleph is addressing daybreak. When does the day begin? So for Kriyas HaMegillah, that's the first case that we want to know. Oh, Shalom Aleichem Zach, how are you? Shavuot Tov. So we just started. And we're looking at the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. Now we're up to the mitzvah of Milah. And in the mitzvah of Milah, again the Torah says, B'yom HaShmini Yimol B'sar Or Laso. So since it says Yom HaShmini, it means daytime. And again, day is going to begin with Hanetzach Chama. V'lo Tovlin. Now we're talking about what's called a Zav, or for example, a Tamei Mes. In all these cases, they have to wait Zayin Yomim, 7 days. So for example, in the case of a Zav, we'll talk about a Zava, right? She could see for 7 days straight, right? Let's say it depends whether it's during Yimei Anida or during Yimei Aziva. So if it's during Yimei Aziva, then if she has 3 consecutive Re'ios on 3 consecutive days, she has to wait Zayin Nikiyim, right? And if you have Anida during Yimei Anida, then after 7 days she can go to Mikveh. That's on a Derais level. Today, we assume that every Anida might be a Zava. So after that 7-day period ends, then on the next morning, she can be Tovelis. But on the night going into the 7th day, she cannot be Tovelis. Now, can she be Tovelis on the 7th day itself, or does she have to wait till the 8th day? So it would seem from Rashi here, and that's going to be the subject of this Tosus Tovlin, that even on the 7th day itself, she could be Tovelis. But that might depend upon how I wish. That might depend upon whether we're talking about a Nida or a Zava. So believe that we'll get into the whole distinction between a Nida and a Zava. A Zava certainly can be Tovelis on the 7th day, although she becomes Tahora after the 7th day ends. But during the day means after Hanetzach Chama. Now the next part of the Mishnah deals with a Tamei Mes, Velo Mazin. So we know that there's Hazah on a Tamei Mes, and that's going to be during the 7 days of Tumah. For somebody who contracted Tumah's Mes, he needs Hazah twice. once on the third day, once on the seventh day, but it has to be by day. And the Gemara is going to derive this from Psukim. And day means after Hanetzacha. V'chein shomeres yom keneged yom. Okay, this means that we're talking about Yemei Ziva. So if a woman, let's say for the first time in her life, becomes a Nida, meaning she sees Dam, then she counts 7 days of Nidus. The day after the seventh day is the first of what's called 11 days of Yemei Ziva. And if she sees three consecutive times on three consecutive days during that 11-day period, she becomes what's called a Zava Gdola. That's not what our mission is talking about. I mean, our mission is definitely addressing the case of Yemei Ziva, that 11-day period. But she saw one day. Okay, what happens if she saw only one day? Because I said before, she becomes a Zava Gdola only if she sees three consecutive days. Each day that she sees sets up what's called Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, which means she has to count one day of Tahara Keneged that one day of Tumah. So let's say, for example, she saw Dam on a Sunday. If she doesn't see Dam on Monday, then she goes to Mikvah and she's Tahora. If on the other hand she sees on Monday, then she has to count Tuesday, and if Tuesday goes by and she doesn't see any Dam, she can go to Mikvah on Wednesday, let's say. If, on the other hand, she sees not only on Sunday and Monday, she also sees on Tuesday, so she has what's called Gimel Yom Ritzufim, three consecutive days, then she becomes a full-fledged Zava, and then she needs Zayin Nikiyim. Now, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, she needed not only Zayin Nikiyim, seven clean days, but she also needed, obviously, Tvila, she had to go into the mikvah, and she needs to bring a Karban. That's called a Karban HaZava. That's one of the Mechusrei Kapara. What that means, Mechusrei Kapara, means her Tahara period is still suspended, even after the Zayin Nikiyim, and even after she went to the mikvah, the clincher is going to be bringing the Karban, obviously during the time the Mikdash stood. And until she brings her Karban, she cannot enter into the Beis HaMikdash, she can't eat kachim. That's called Mechusrei Kapara. She's not yet Tahara. So the Tahara process is made up of three parts. A, Zayin Nikiyim, B, Tvila, and C, the Karban. But again, if she only saw one day during the Yud Aleph Yomim, that's our mission, and she becomes a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. And when she counts a day, you might think that in the night that follows that day, so she saw on Sunday, now the whole day Monday she didn't see, it was a Yom Naki, and you might think that she could go to Mikvah that night, going into Tuesday, if you know what I mean, going into the third day. No, the answer is, she has to wait until the morning, until daybreak. And again, the Gemara is going to derive this from Pesukim. Ad shetonei tzachama. Oh, now, you might say to me the following. When it says in the Mishnah, ad shetonei tzachama, is that a rabbinic law or is that a Torah law? Is the Torah telling me that until daybreak, until the sun actually appears on the horizon, it's not considered Yom, it's still Laila? Or are the Rabbanan saying that we want to wait until it's absolutely crystal clear that it's Yom, and that's after the sun rises? And therefore, since we're not absolutely clear, and we don't want to take any chances here, we're going to wait until the sun rises, but really, day emerges even earlier than sunrise. Now, why would I say such a thing? Because in the next line of the Mishnah, which is the finale of this Mishnah, it says, V'chulon, in all the cases that we mentioned, Sha'asu, Misha'ola Amud HaShachar Kosher. Let's take, for example, Megillas Esther. That would be a good example. They went ahead and they read the Megillah after Alos HaShachar, before Hanetz HaChama. So now we're in a b'di'evit situation, and the question is whether we can go back to the primary din, and in this case we could say that we already fulfilled our mitzvah of Megillas Esther. And that's what it says in the Mishnah Kosher, meaning we're not happy about this situation. This is not the ideal. They should have really waited until Hanetz HaChama. Let's say, for example, today, I'm not sure, but let's say I remember on Friday, Hanetz HaChama was at 6:20. So it says, so Amud HaShachar was probably an hour before that.
72 minutes.
Fine. So there was a long period of time in which, if you read the Megillah for daytime, you would fulfill the Megillah, but we would tell you to wait until 6:20. That would be the earliest time to read the Megillah, because we're afraid. What are we afraid of? So if you take a look at Rashi, Dima Maskam Akulam Sha'asu, Rashi says, Dimi Alosa Shachar Yumamahu. When does day begin? How are you? With Alosa Shachar. However, Aval Lefisha Ein HaKol Bekiyim Bo, we're not exactly sure exactly when is Alosa Shachar. It's very confusing. You can't see it clearly. Therefore, Rashi says, Tzrichim Lahamti, we have to delay it. Ad HaNeisachar. So clearly Rashi is learning that we're dealing with the Darabbana. That the Rabbanan L'chatchila wanted you to wait until after Anetzachama. However, if you read the Megillah, for example, before Anetzachama, then B'dievad you would be Yotze. That's what the Mishnah says, Kosher. Now I have here in the back, in the Yalkut HaBi'urim, we're on Daf Chof, correct? So he has a discussion here about what happens if you read the Megillah after Alos HaShachar but before Hanetz. So he says the following. He says, Kol Elah Nizkar V'Mishnah, right? We have the case of Tvila, we have the case of Mila, we have the case of Azah, we have the case of Megillah. Is Ein La'Sosem Elah Me'Hanetz HaCham. What we should really do is wait till Hanetz. Ella, he says, Ein la sosam me'alos ha-shachar, aval ha-mishnah la-lono omruke. In other words, the Mishnah later is going to seem to indicate that if a person has to go out on a trip, then he could fulfill the mitzvah hayom even before hanitz. So that's what we call shasad chak. So again, when is it Vadayom without any question? That's only after Hanetzacham. You know, you clearly see the sun rising on the horizon. And then there's no mistake about it. It's not Laila. So for example, if a person wants to read the Megillah before Hanetz, then he gets into this suffix situation. He's not sure that it's after Alos HaShachar. And therefore it's not Vadayom. It's Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila. We have a similar situation that we're going to get to a little bit later on the second side of Daf Chof with regard to Shkias HaChama, because when the sun sets, there's still light on the horizon. So the question is whether that's still called Yom, or the fact that the sun set that makes it into Laila. You've heard about Banish Mush, so that's called Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila. So those mitzvahs that require yom, we should wait till Hanetz HaChama, and we should finish up the mitzvah by Shkias HaChama. Now what would be if you read the Megillah after Shkias HaChama on Purim, or it's, let's say, Yudal going into Tezvav, would we say the same thing that we said here, that if you read the Megillah after Amud HaShachar, but before Hanetz, then you would be Yotze, it says Kosher? And the same thing maybe we could apply in the opposite direction. If the period of time before Hanetz is a suffix and you were Yotze, if it's before Hanetz HaChama, so then maybe we could say you would be Yotze after Shkias HaChama. But life becomes a lot more complicated than that, because it could be that if you read the Megillah after it was Amud HaShachar, that's considered Yom. It's not Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila. Whereas in Shkias HaChama, it's really Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila. Now, in the case of Megillah, what can you do in a post facto? I mean, there's nothing to do to salvage the situation. If it's already Laila, so we want to shock. Either you are Yotze, you aren't Yotze. Up in Shemayim, they'll have to deal with that question. But for you, there's no real practical difference. So now the Gemara is going to try to establish in each one of the cases that we mentioned, how do you know that the mitzvah depends upon Yom? So we start with Minolad. and that's going on Megillah reading. How do we know the Megillah reading is by day? So the Gemara says, the Amar Kra, we have a Pasuk here, the Pasuk in Megillas Esther tells us that Hayomim Ha'ele Niskarim V'Nasim. So for the laws of Megillah, we always go to Perek Tes of Megillah's Esther. That's where the end of the Megillah, where all the laws are. And there it says Yavim. Now this is a little bit strange, because very often the Torah says Yavim, and it refers to the entire day, the entire unit of 24 hours. We never know exactly what the rules are. Again, there's going to be a long discussion at the end of the Mefarshim. When do we say that Yom excludes Laila? And when do we say that Yom includes Laila? And it means the whole day. In this case, we say that Yom excludes Laila. By Yom in, by Laila lo. So you cannot fulfill the mitzvah at night. So there's a Tosus here, the Tziv, towards the bottom of your page. And Tosus assumes that there has to be another drasha to prove that the word Yom in this context means Yom is to the exclusion of Laila. In any event, this is a very strange Gemara, because the Gemara seems to absolutely assume that if you read the Megillah too early and it's not yet Yom, then you didn't fulfill this mitzvah of Ayom Melu Niskar V'Nasim. But we had a sugya back on Daf Dalet of an Aleph, and if you recall, the Gemara there establishes in the name of Yeshua ben Levi that you have to read the Megillah not once, but twice. So there's one Megillah reading by day, but there's an additional reading, Megillah reading by night, at night. And you may recall that the Gemara has various psukim and drushes to derive this, whether it's from a pasuk by David HaMelech, where he says, Laila v'lo dumyali, or maybe it's L'nai Zemercha Chavod, also David HaMelech. So it seems like the mission is kind of oblivious to the entity or the enterprise of Megillah at night. So Lemet Evi Tuvta, the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Is this mission against Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? The Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Chayev Adam Likos Megillah Balayla Shanosa Bayom. The mission requires that you read the Megillah twice. I'm sorry, Rabbi Shimon Levi says that you require reading Megillah twice. The Mishnah seems to imply that if you read it before day, then it's meaningless, because there is no Megillah night. So it's our mission against Rabbi Shimon Levi. So the Gemara tries to do what should we call it? You know, some sort of last ditch effort to try to reconcile the Mishnah with Rabbi Shimon Levi. Ki katani Adiyom. The Mishnah never meant to say that if you read it too early and it's still nighttime, that's meaningless. The Mishnah wanted to know, how do you fulfill your mitzvah? When can you fulfill mitzvah? By day. Say no chinami. The Mishnah is well aware of the fact that you need to read the Megillah at night, and that would reflect the sheet of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. The Mishnah just wants to know, okay, you already read the Megillah at night, or you didn't read the Megillah at night, either way. Now it's daytime, and you want to be mekayim the mitzvah by day. If you read it too early, either that's a repeat performance of Megillah at night, so Shkarek, you read Megillah twice at night. Or if it's your first round, then it's a Megillah reading at night. But don't consider it a Megillah reading by day, because the Torah, the Halacha requires that you wait until Anei Tzachama or until Alos HaShachar. Now the Turi Eben has a different approach to this whole sugya. He thinks that although the Gemara is trying to reconcile our Mishnah with Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, but in truth, the Mishnah never recognized Megillah reading by day. Excuse me, Megillah reading by night. Because the Pasuk says, Hayomim Ha'eleh Nizkarim V'Nasim. He proves this from a Gemara back on Daf Hey. If you remember, the Gemara back in Daf Hey had a hekesh between Nizkarim and Nasim. The word Nasim is a reference to all the mitzvahs Hayom, like Seudas Purim, Mishloach Manos. All these mitzvahs have to be fulfilled by day. So if I send you Mishloach Manos the night of Purim, I'm not Yotze. And it's a hekish to Nizkarim. Nizkarim is referring to reading of the Megillah. So I read the Megillah at night, I'm not Yotze. So from the Turi Emet's perspective, if a person read the Megillah at night, the Mishnah would not valid. That's irrelevant according to the Mishnah. I, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, says that you have to read the Megillah not only by day but also at night. That's already a takana that's post-Mishnaic. In other words, that's a takana of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And what's the nafkamina? He says the following. Very often in the halacha we reflect on Megillah reading as what's called midivrei kabbalah. And midivrei kabbalah is only, almost like a doraisa. For example, there's a law of an onen, right? So an onen is excluded from certain actions. Like for example, he's not allowed to drink wine, you know, before the burial. He's not allowed to eat meat. And the question is, what if Purim coincides with Aninus? And the Shulchan Aruch Paskin said, in such a case, in order to be the mitzvah Purim, Hayom Eilin Yizkar Menasim, he would override Aninus. And why is that so? Because Purim is Midirei Kabbalah. So when this pasuk says Hayom Eilin Yizkar Menasim, which is incorporated into Megillas Esther, then the chiyuv of all the mitzvahs hayom, whether it's zechira or asiya, are incorporated into the Tanakh itself. And once it's part of Tanakh, it's midirei kabbalah, and it has an upgraded status. It's almost like a doraisa. Or, for example, the Turi Eben says, what happens if you have a suffix, whether you yotze megillah or not yotze megillah? So normally you would say suffix derabbana lekula, but in the case of megillah, insofar as it's upgraded to the status of midirei kabbalah, you don't apply the principle of suffix derabbana lekula. And in Tveria, for example, which they didn't know whether to read the Megillah on Yudalot or Tesvav, was it Mukaf Choma, they would have to read the Megillah on two different days. Says the Turi Eben, that's only as far as Megillah reading by day. Because Megillah reading by day, which is mandated by the Megillah itself, by Kisvei HaKodesh, that becomes Divrei Kabbalah. And we no longer apply the principle of Sofek Lekula. But Megillah reading at night was enacted and instituted post-Mishnah by Rabbi Shimon Levi. It's not based on the Megillah itself. Nowhere in the Megillah is there even a hint that we have to read at night. Rabbi Shimon Levi found various psukim and tehillim in order to give it a little bit of a geshpanka, you know, an asmachta, but it's not really a mitzvah from the Megillah itself, and therefore it has a classical status as a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Well, let's go on. Lo malin. So we wait until Anetzach Chama to do the mila. Dichsiv, because it says Ubayom Hashmini Yimol. And once again, the Gemara is assuming here that whenever it says Yom, it means Yom to the exclusion of Laila. And the daytime is the time for mila. You know, these are laws that we're so familiar with, we don't even blink. But the truth is, there is a more subtle issue in halacha that's relevant to this discussion, and that is what's called zrizim makdimim lemitzvus. And the question is, when would the moel be required? Now, when I say the moel, please don't misunderstand me. I don't mean because he's a professional moel. You know, in the ideal case, it would be the father or the son. You know, the aviya ben. He's the one who's obligated to be with. But okay, not everyone is able to do mila. In my own case, they gave me the ismal, and I started shaking. You know, I was supposed to at least begin the cutting. So I get back to the mile. I said, I'm not taking any chances here. You know,
I did my own kids.
You did your own kids? How did you?
I used to go with Dr. Shields.
He
did mila, and whenever he did a conversion for a baby who was born, he did a bait team. I used to see Mila, so you get used to it.
Yeah, you see, and she would find Dr. Shields.
Well, I never did it, but I used to watch it. So when my turn came, and yeah, I had my first boy, I said, I'm going to do it. And he said, yeah, sure, take the knife. No, I didn't do it myself. He held my hand.
He held you there. Yeah.
But I still,
so I still like the rock. I was about to do it, and I chickened out. Okay, call Kavod, you did it yourself. Yeah. That's good. It's a big in any event, so what I want to point out to you, let's say, for example, the Moel is a half hour away from where he has to get to for the mila. I mean, you could double it and triple it. The question is, would he be required, in order to fulfill the mitzvah, Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvahs, to guarantee that all the preparatory stages be completed by Hanetzach Chama? In other words, if Hanetzach Chama is the beginning of the day, and again, we're not at all sure about that, because we really think from the end of the Mishnah that it starts with Amud HaShachar. But let's say Hanetzach Chama would be by day. That's when the Mitzvah Mila begins. Would he have to do all the preparations before in order to achieve this extra kiyum of, which is derived from the pasuk Vayashkem Avraham Baboker? And it seems from the Gemara Pesachim with regard to Bedikas Chometz, that the Gemara wanted to say that Bedikas Chometz should begin at the earliest possible time, that the Gemara might recognize the distinction between the actual Bedika, when you implement the Bedika, as opposed to the preparatory stages. That those preparatory stages should begin in such a way that you can synchronize the mitzvah with the first moment that the mitzvah could be chal.
You know, it seems like of all these, seems like a special one in that you really wouldn't want to do that at night. This went back when they were working by candlelight.
Yeah, might be dangerous, you say. So that's intuitive that we should wait till day. V'lo tov liv lo mazim. So we said that tefillah has to take place by yom. Tichsiv, how do we know this? Oh, so the truth is that the pasuk that we're learning now refers not to tefillah. The Gemara is going to set up a hekesh, but the pasuk itself is referring to azah. So we're talking about a tamei mess at the beginning of Parashas Chukas, and it says vehiza hatahor al tamei bayom hashlishi ubayom hashvi'i vechitao bayom hashvi'i vechibes b'gad rochas b'mayim v'tar b'er. So on the third day of tumas mess, and on the seventh day, they did hazah with the mechatos from the paraduma, and it had to be done by day. Why? Because it says in the pasuk, "Bayom hashlishi u'bayom hashvi'i."
What could it have said to have said that day or night would work? I mean,
right, so sometimes
it's not enough.
Sometimes we're going to see in the next mishnah that the Torah uses the term laila. Like, for example, v'ochlu asabosa b'laila hazeh. In the case of Korban Pesach.
Right, but there it's specifying only the Laila, but Yom does have the meaning of, you know, the 24-hour period. So
that's what I said before. I'm leaving that as a separate topic. There's a great deal of literature. How do you know whether Yom means day as opposed to Laila, or Yom means the whole 24-hour period? What are the rules and regulations? A lot of mepharshim work on this issue. To try to explain in every case, how do we know that Yom means Yom and not Laila? This is also part of this Tosas Dichsiv. Remember, I pointed out to you before, the next to last Tosas on the page is going to also deal with this issue, but not head on, but indirectly. So let's leave that in Mirza Shem for a separate topic. So now we know that Hazav, the Mechatos, has to take place by day. And then the Gemara says, "Ve'iskash tvila lahazah." In the same parasha that the Torah addresses hazah, it says tvila, because after the two hazahs, then the Torah requires that the tamei mes immerse himself in a mikvah, and he comes out tahor. And insofar as it says v'rachatz b'mayim v'tayer, in the same context as Vehiza, so just like it says by Yom with regard to Vehiza, that by Yom requirement applies even to Rechitza Mamayim, meaning even to Tefillah. And therefore, you need Tefillah by day.
Now, we hold, for women at least, they have to go at night. After
right,
complete
that's
day,
the so. Next sugya that we're going to learn now.
All right.
Okay, so let's talk about Shomeres Yom, Kenegin Yom, and then we'll talk about Anida, and we'll try to see if we can sort this out. Okay. So the Mishnah says the following: V'chein Shomeres Yom Kenegin Yom Lo Titbol Ad Shetonetz Hacham. So the Mishnah itself brings the case of a Shomeres Yom Kenegin Yom, and that's a separate category in addition to Ein Tovlin. So now, we have the following. We've established tvila in the case of a tamei mes, and in the case of a zav, and that has to take place during the day. Would that be a universal halacha that applies to all tvilos? Whenever tvila is a requirement in order to achieve tahara, do we require tvila beyond? And the Gemara, at this point in time, thinks that this is a universal principle, that every single tvila, which is a tvila metaheres, requires yom. And if that be the case, we don't understand why, in the case of Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, the Mishnah felt compelled to go out of its way to spell out that this is a requirement of tvila beyom. We've already established Ein Tovlin Ela Me'anei Tzachama. Pshita. If we establish a universal rule that with regard to all chayvei tvilos, that the tvila be by day, then it should certainly apply to shomer siyom keneged yom. We already have the mission that says ein tovlin ela bayom, so we're going to apply that to shomer siyom keneged yom. It's maybe there are cases where tefillah could be done balayla, and maybe we should break up tefillah into different categories, and then we have to figure out where Shomer Siyom Keneged Yom will fit. Salkit Daitech Amina Tehevi Kiri'ia Rishona Shel Zav. Now a Zav is very similar to a Zava. There are various distinctions, but what's the din of a Zav? A din of a Zav is that although in the case of a Zava she's called the Shomer Siyom Keneged Yom, otherwise known as Zava Ketana, she only needs one day of Tahara until the point that she sees 3 days consecutively. So after the first day, she's a Shomer Siyom. And even if she sees 2 days consecutively, she's still a Shomer Siyom. And only after the third Re'iyah, on the third day, does she become a Zava, meaning a Zava Gedola. Now let's talk about Re'iyah Rishona Shel Zav. There's a halacha in Zav, in the male case, when he has this Ziva, that he's not considered a Zav of two Re'iyos, meaning Adayin Lo Nechshav LeZav Baal Shtei Re'iyos. He only saw at this point one Re'iyah. Is Eino Chayv Lishmar Shiva Nekir. So in other words, in the case of a Zav, he has to see two Re'iyos. And we'll soon see whether it has to be on two consecutive days or it could be two Re'iyos on the same day. In any event, at this point, he has seen only one Re'iyah. Now, if he has seen only one Re'iyah, Zav, like the case of Zava, does not yet need Shiva Nekir. In the case of Zava, she waits till she sees 3 days consecutively, and then she needs Zayin Nekiyim as a Zava Gedola. So let's take a look at Re'iyah Rishona Shel Zav. We have a Hekesh now between Re'iyah Rishona Shel Zav, Iskish Lebal Keri. Because the Torah has two psukim in Vayikra Tezvav, one next to the other, one continues to the other. One is a reference to a Balkari, and the other is a reference to a Zav. And that sets up a hekesh between Zav and Balkari. Dechsiv, Zos Torah Zav, Vashar Teitzi Mimenu Shichvas Zora. In other words, even before the Torah got to talk about Zav, which is going to be the end of this pasuk, already it cuts in the middle of the pasuk and tells us about Shichvas Zera. And what is this coming to teach us? Why does the Torah inject Balkari into Zav? Ma Balkari Tovil Bayom Hainami Litbol Biyome. So what happens now? In the case of Balkari, he can go to the mikvah on the very same day that he saw Keri. So he can see Keri in the morning and go to the mikvah right afterwards. He doesn't have to wait until tomorrow. Hainami, the same thing applies to a Zav. Litbol biyome. Biyome means on the very day that he saw the Re'iyah. Now, if that be the case, then it's possible to say that a Shomer Siyom Keneged Yom would also be able to be Tovel on the very Yom Re'iyah. So she saw Dam on Sunday morning, and Sunday afternoon she wants to go to the mikvah. And then she'll wait one more day in order to count that as a day of Tahara, which is called Shomer Siyom Keneged Yom. Verha b'yamama lo matzi tovla. Now the Mishnah is coming to tell us that no, that a Shomer Siyom Keneged Yom cannot be tovel like a Balkari or a Zav on the very same day of her Re'iyah, but rather she has to wait until tomorrow. D'chsiv, kol yamei zovah, Kimishkav Nidasa Yelah. All right, there's a complicated limud here. But let's just, before we go into the mechanics of this drasha, and how we darshan from the words kol yamei zova, let's just get the general picture over here. What we're saying is that there's a contrast here between keri and zav on the one hand, and a zava on the other hand. Zava meaning a zava katan, otherwise known as a shomer siyom. Whereas a zav or a balkeri can go to mikvah on the very same day that they saw the re'iyah. She, the zava katana, the shomer siyom, she needs to wait until tomorrow before she can be tovela. So the tvila on the very day of the ziva of the re'iyah is not valid. It's not meaningful. So let's see this drasha, and then we'll try to put it all together. It says, "Kol yamei zova kimishkav nidasa yela." Now, what does "kol yamei" mean? So there's a sugya here at the end of nida, which clarifies this a little bit better. That this din, that if she sees during the zman of Yuda Aleph Yom, right? Now that she finished on nida period, now she's counting 11 days of ziva. Then she needs to count one day, connected the day that she saw. And the Gemara is saying that since it says in the pasuk, "Kol yamei zova kimishkav nidasa yihyeh means sfira. That just like she's counting 11 days of ziva, she also has to count now the days of tahara. And her ability to be tovel and set up the tara depends upon sfira. And the sfira requires that you count days. Right? So you can only begin the sfira with the second day. Right? So she had a re'iyah on Sunday, and now she has to count a day. Right? And the day always starts with the next day. That's when she can start counting a day. That's called sfira. A day of Shmira. Shmira means that day, she counts the day on which she watches to make sure that she doesn't have a re'iyah. It becomes what's called the Yom Naki. So therefore, there's a difference between Shomeris Yom and Zav. In the case of Zav, he doesn't need Shmira. In other words, after his first re'iyah, he can be Tovil on that very same day. Shomer Siyom has to count and has to wait to feel until Sfira, and Sfira means that she starts counting the new day, which is going to be a Yom Naki as opposed to yesterday. So yesterday, the day Sunday which she saw, that can't be counted as one of the Zayinikim, and she has to wait until the next day to count the first day of Zayinikim. That's called Shomer Siyom, meaning on that day is the day of Shmira, and that becomes a Yom Naki that's going to be Metarha from the previous re'iyah on the previous day. And the Gemara now establishes that the tefillah has to be connected to the shmira. It can't be on the same day, which is before she counts. But yia means sfira. That's how the Gemara interprets the word yia. That's the sugya at the end of nida. So the Gemara now explains what the havamin of our Mishnah is. Why did the Mishnah have to tell me that shomeris yom can only be tovelis by day? What was the Hava meaning to think that she could be Tovelis Balayla? Says the Gemara, Balayla miasli avid miktsas shimur. There should be a day in which she does Shmira. And who says that the Shmira has to be done by day? For example, when we count the days of the Omer, we start counting at night. And the entire day is counted, starting with the Sphira Balayla. She now needs a Sphira of a Yom Naki, which is to be the day after the Re'iyah, that's for sure. But when does that day begin? The inception of the day is with Laila. She can start counting at night. And that's what's called in the Gemara's language, Miktsas Shmira, meaning the beginning of Shmira. V'titmol, and let her go at night, and she doesn't have to wait till the next day. And in fact, that we'll see in the case of Anida, that she can be Tovelis Balayla. So maybe in the case of a Zava, she should be able to do Tovelis Balayla, Kamash Malan. That's what the Mishnah wants to teach us. That Shomeris Yom Kenegin Yom has the same status as the Tvilos of a Tomei Mes, or a tefillah of a Zav who saw enough rios that he became a Zav, and that's only by Yom. And the only reason we know this is because we're saying that although the Sfira could begin at night, but that's not called a full-fledged Sfira. What the Mishnah is trying to be machadish is that the real Sfira is Biyom. Kevan Deboi Sfira. In other words, since that day itself has to be counted as a Yom Naki, and the Shmir itself is not enough. So even though you talk, so now the Gemara is distinguishing between two concepts that are very similar: Shmira and Sfira. As far as Shmira is concerned, well, she has to be Shomeres Yom. Well, to be Shomeres Yom, then she can start that Shmira at night, going into the next day. But there's another halacha of Sfira. And if you want to count the day, you have to already be in the Yom period. In other words, the counting doesn't begin at night, but it begins by day. So the Mishnah again has to tell me a chiddush that the din of a Shomeres Yom is like the other cases that we had, where tevilah must be implemented by day. And if you ask me, why don't we derive conclusions from the first Ri of Azav, where the first Ri of Azav could be Tovel on that very day? No, Shomeres Yom needs to wait until she can start counting, and her counting begins by day. So let me just read to you this line here. He says, the Tam, Ein Lilmod Miri'i Rishon Shel Zav Shetovel Bo Bayom L'Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom Shetitbo Balayla. Don't derive any conclusions that she can be Tovelis Balayla from the fact that Zav can be Tovel on his very day. Because the only reason that you're differentiating between a Zav and a Zava is because she has a din of Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. She has to start counting. So let us start counting at night. And if you'll tell me, but it's before the day, so I'll bring a proof from Re'ir Rishona Shel Zav. He can count on the very day itself. So the Gemara answers, no. She cannot be Tovelis Balayla because Kevon Dibai Sfira. In other words, Osu Ayom She Tzricha Lishmar Eina Shmira Bilvan. If it was only a din of Shmira, then Eina Chinami she could start at night and call that Mixah Shmira. But she needs to count by day because of the din of Sfira. Sfira is only by Yom. The question now we have to ask is, how does Gemara know for sure that Sfira is only by day? Tzricha Lispar Oso Yom Bitara. So if you take a look on that Chaf on the Beis, the Gemara says Sfira be a moment. That we have this principle that Sfira has to be by day. That's not the same as Sfira's Omer. There we count at night. Sfira is only by day because the Pasuk says V'safra La Shivas Yomim. You'll see that in the second line from the top in Rashi. And since the Torah went out of its way to say that she has to count Shivas Yomim, it means that she cannot be Tovel until after daybreak, because Yom means Yom, and that's when the Sfira is. And the Tana wants to tell you that the Tvila has to be conjoined with the Sfira. If what generated the Tvila would be Shmira, because she needs to be Shomeres Yom, well, Shmira could begin at night. But the Torah says V'safra la Shivas Yomim, and the Torah therefore is indicating that the Tvila has to be connected to Sfira and not to Shmira. And with regard to Sfira, the Pasuk says V'safra la Shivas Yomim, and therefore Shivas Yomim means Dafka after daybreak, and that's when she could be Tovelis together with the Sfira, but not at night before. Even though as far as Shmira is concerned, it would have been okay.
This is with the case of a woman who's Nida, she counts the 7 clean days because of the Zav.
Correct. She's considered a suffix Zav.
But the Zav is not supposed to count at night, yet she's checks at night. It's kind of like it's an odd mix of the two.
Right. So just like a Zav Katana, Shomeres Yom, can be Tovelis by day, even though she needs to be Shomeres that day, so too in the case of a Zav Gedola on the seventh day, which is the last day of her sphira, she can go to mikvah
on the day.
Again, on the day. Today we try to avoid it, you know, for tzniyas reason, whatever it is. Right. Maybe because Shabbat Tira v'tistar, we're always afraid that maybe she'll go to mikvah and then she'll see another year and then she has to start counting from the beginning, so therefore they made a takon. But technically speaking, according to the din d'oraisa, she should be able to be tovelas just like a Shomer Siyom on the day when she completes her sphira. In the case of Shomer Siyom, she completes her sphira on the day after her Re'iyah. It's a one-day sphira. In the case of a woman who saw three Re'iyahs on three consecutive days, she needs to count 7 days. She completes her sphira with daybreak on the 7th day, and sphira now engenders tevila, and she should be tovelis at that point. Kulon sha'asu mishalan amud ha-shachar kosher. How do we know that the day begins with Alos HaShachar, and therefore you can fulfill all the mitzvahs Hayom with Alos HaShachar? Omar Rava, the Omar Kra, Vayikra Elokim La'ar Yom. Now this is critical. The Torah says that Yom is defined by Ar. You and I would have said that Yom is defined by the Ma'ar, meaning the luminary, the sun. And in that being the case, before Hanes HaChama, we don't have Yom. But the Torah goes out of its way and says that day is considered day because of the Or. And then at the end of the pasuk says, V'lachoshech karo Laila, that Laila is identified with darkness. So what we're talking about now is not the luminary, it's not the sun. Right? If you would ask me, when is Yom from the perspective of the Ma'ar HaGadol of Memshel Sayom, if you remember that pasuk, then I would certainly say let's wait till Hanetz HaChama. But since the Torah went out of its way to call Yom La'ar, it means that everything depends upon light.
Although that was before the Shemesh was created, though, before the luminaries were created.
Right, but since the Torah went out of its way to emphasize this, that when you had Or and Laila, right, Or and Choshech, the Torah says the Or is called Yom and the Choshech is called Laila. So in other words, with Amud HaShachar, Alos HaShachar, you already have light coming up on the horizon. The sun hasn't risen yet, but because the sun is very close to rising, you're already seeing light, and therefore it's called Yom. On the other hand, the Torah says Hamaor Gadol Shalos Bayom, which implies that unless you have the sun, it's not Yom. So that's going to create this whole mess over here, where on the one hand, Yom emerges with Amud HaShachar, there's already light on the horizon, it's reflected light. On the other hand, we don't have Hamaor Gadol Shalos Bayom, so it's not really Yom yet, and therefore we have to wait and postpone until Hanetz HaChama. That's why I would have said to you, if not for Rashi, I don't know if you were here, Eric, when we read the Rashi, take a look quickly at the Rashi on the Mishnah.
I think I caught the very tail end of the Rashi.
Yeah, the Dima Masa Kulon. So if not for Rashi, we could have said that what the Gemara is operating with here is the possibility of two different definitions of Yom. And we're talking on a derisive level. Forget about, you know, whether we're Bekiyim or we're not Bekiyim. You know, Rashi's worried about whether or not we have the expertise to identify Amud HaShachar. Forget about that. Let's even if I was a Baki in Amud HaShachar, I would still have the following issue. The Torah says that Vayas et Shnei Ma'oros, says the Ma'or Gadol Memshel Sayom, and it says that Yomim Ulamadim, I think it says in the Pasuk. So the Torah is identifying Yom as the Ma'or, so we have to wait until the sun rises. On the other hand, Kulon Shasol Me'amud HaShachar Kosher. Why? Because we don't have to wait till the sun rises. All we need is Or. Vayikra Elokim La'or Yom. So we have like two definitions of Yom. One definition of Yom depends upon light. And light means after Amud HaShachar there's already some light on the horizon. And the Pasuk of Ma'oros means that we have to wait till Hanetz HaChama, because that's when day emerges. We have two different... The Torah is actually operating with two different definitions of Yom. That's not Rashi. What I'm telling you now is not Rashi. So let's see the Gemara. Omar Rav, Omar Kro, Vayikra Elokim La'or Yom. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the light, and he called it Yom. So the Gemara says, L'meiru Ba, Kro Yom. No, the sun hasn't risen yet. but it's already a process of Meir Upa. In other words, there's Ascholas Ha'ara, meaning the light is beginning to show, and that's already considered Yom. Nu Elameyatos, the Gemara says, V'lachoshech Karol Laila, L'machshechu Ba Karol Laila. In other words, if you're telling me that the word R means a process, so why not talk about the word Choshech as a process? L'machshechu Ba Karol Laila. And that would mean that even before it's really Laila, before it's dark, the sun has set, and in that period of time, we should already consider it as Laila. Why? Because it's the Machshech Uba. No, the darkness is on its way. Like the light of day is on its way after Amudah Shachar, so to the darkness of night is on its way after Shkia Sachama. And that itself should be considered Laila. So in other words, when we speak about Bein HaShmashos, after Shkia is being Sofek Yom, Sofek Laila, now we should conclude that period of time is Vaday Laila. See, I would have said just the exact opposite. I would have said that since it says V'lachosha Karol Laila, we certainly have to wait until after Tzeisach Kochov. But you got yourself into a bind because you said that the word R at the beginning of this pasuk means Meir Upa. Because again, the Gemara is still trying to work out to reconcile the apparent contradiction here. Because where's the sun? If the sun hasn't risen yet, how can you call it day? The Torah says that that God created the sun as the memshalas hayom, to engender the day. So in order to reconcile that, you say that the word R means Meir Upa, that the light of the sun is already appearing even before the sun has risen. So if that be the case, why don't we do that in the opposite direction as well? And we're going to say the following, that once the sun sets, it's not, right? You and I would have said it's not Choshech. But now that you're interpreting that R means Meir, and the process of the light coming from the sun has begun, even though the sun didn't rise yet, so to the process of getting darkness on the earth, which is called in the Gemara's language Machshech Upa, that already should be considered Laila. Because again, if R is a process, then Choshech should be a process. So now the Gemara says the following. This can't be so. It's impossible to maintain that position of Rava and be consistent with Rava and apply it to night as a Machshech Upa, because Kaimalon we paskin the Atzei Sakokom Lav Lailahu, that we interpret the Pasuk Choshech literally, that Choshech means absolute pure darkness. And that's when it becomes Laila. Correct? So now we see that the word Choshech means Choshech. And if the word Choshech means literally Choshech, it doesn't mean Machshech Upa, not the process, but rather the final outcome, then we have to apply the same yardstick to R, and that R means the R of Yom, the day of Yom. And the Gemara identifies the day of Yom now as Hanetzach Chama. So we're still stuck because we don't know what is the source for the din of Allah Amudah Shachar. Elam Rav Zera. Rav Zera says, I have a different source. I disagree with Rav. The source for Alos HaShachar is from Tanakh. It's not from the story of creation. Mehocha. So he tells you here, it's in Nehemiah, Perek, Dalet, Pasuk Tezvav. There they're talking about the building of the Chomas Yushalayim, which the Jews will build after they come in Aliyah from Bavel. And it says, "Vanachnu osim b'malacha, v'chetziyam machzikim b'ramachim." This has to do with security. So there were those who were in charge of the malacha, right? They were building the Chomas Yerushalayim, which would mean the Choma of let's say the Har HaBayis. You know, some say that the Kotel HaMaravi is really the coastal of the Har HaBayis. Others assume it's the coast of the Azara, I don't know if you gentlemen know of any people who don't go too close to the Kotel, or they'll never allow you to put something inside the Kotel.
Tzvi Yehuda, he wouldn't put his fingers in there.
So there were those who even went further than that. They didn't even want to come close to the Kotel because we all have a din of a zav or a tamid. Because they're afraid that the Kotel is really the Kotel of the Azor itself. And their dinim of Isur Tuma, if you come too close, because you might go into the Azora. I don't know all the details, but I think the archaeological diggings have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Kotel is not the Kotel of the Azora.
Yeah.
So if in the worst case scenario, it's the Kotel of the Harabayis. So if it's the Kotel of the Harabayis, so then we're talking about the original Bali Malach. Now, I don't believe this is the same Kotel, you know.
Actually, I think the archaeological evidence suggests that it extends beyond the original Harabayis. In other words, because
it's further out.
Herod wanted to fill in. He wanted to make it bigger, so he made this wall and he filled in inside.
It's not even really the Harabayis yet. Okay, right. So then you can be much more making, but it is really close up there. You know, you look at the Masgad over there; it's not that far away from the Kotel. But be that as it may, it comes out that we have to discuss the Osim HaMalacha. That's the key concept here. Now, the Osim HaMalacha were employed to work during the day. And now we have to figure out what is the day. So there were two groups. That's not for us now, but there was one group of people who were the Osim HaMalach, and then there was another group of people who were the security people, because they had to make sure the Goyim wouldn't come and attack them and stop them from building a Binyan Bayis, which is one of the main themes of the Masechta Megillah, as we found out, that the Goyim were not too excited about building the Har Bayis, the Beis HaMikdash. So at what point did the Osim HaMalach begin? And at what point did they terminate? Did they end their day? So the pasuk says explicitly, you can't get more explicit than that. It says, "Me'alos ha-shachar ad tzeis ha-kochavim." And that, my friends, is the longest definition of day that's possible. Because on the one hand, you're saying that even before ha-netzachamo, it's already considered yom. And that's what Rabbi Zera wants to prove from this pasuk, that the Torah recognizes Alos HaShachar as Yom before Netzachamo. And then it's Ad Seis HaKochavim. So wait a minute, maybe this is really consistent. Let me just make the cheshbon. If we're saying that Alos HaShachar is Yom, that means all we need is what? Is the light of the sun. We don't need sunrise. Is that the light of the sun continues even after sunset? So it means that that this pasuk in the Chemi reflects what we saw before by Yikral Kinla R Yom, and R begins before sunrise, and R continues even after sunset. Hence, we get the longest possible definition of Yom from Alos HaShachar until it says HaKochavim, which is not good news if you're employed as a day worker, because it means you have to start your work day as early as Alos HaShachar and end it no earlier than Tzeis HaKochavim. The Omer, the Pasuk says, V'hayu lanu halayla mishmar v'hayom melacha. So the Pasuk is explicit that this work day was a day, was a yom. And you can't tell me that yom means 24 hours, because in the same Pasuk here, it mentions Laila. So Laila was Mishmar. Laila, they did all, you know, they did the rounds and the security rotations and so forth. And then they dedicated the day to work. So you see clearly that the day begins with Alos HaShachar. And why is that so? Because the Torah says that the day should be identified with R. We already have R even before the sun rises on the horizon. We already have reflected light, and that itself gives me R. It gives me Yom. So Malacha Yom. And if everything depends on R, then we can extend the day beyond Shkia Sachama all the way till Tzeis HaKochavim, because it's still R. which means that what? That Lila begins with Choshech. Ah, so it's interesting. Do you see how the Gemara is dropping this whole thing about Meir Uba? Because again, Meir Uba gave us the conclusion that once the sun sets, it's already nighttime.
Right.
Because we're going to apply the same principle to Machshech Uba. The Gemara is dropping that now. The Gemara right now is saying that it really depends on R and Choshech, literally. So R equals Yom and Choshech equals Lila.
So it's any light equals day and...
Correct. So any light is already considered R, and therefore it works in both directions. You still have light after Shkia. You have light already before Hanetzach Hamor. So we anticipate the light of the day even before Hanetzach Hamor. And the R continues even after what? Even after Shkia Sachama, up until Tzei Sakuchama. I just realized it's a little bit late, so I apologize.